Welcome to the Kingdom Educators Podcast, where we empower Christian teachers to grab a hold of heaven's hope-filled perspective so you can activate transformational impact in your classroom and community. I'm your host, Jessica Glover, and I warmly welcome you to wake up to your strategic placement as a Kingdom Educator, anointed by the Creator and equipped by all of heaven to release the radical goodness of God that will transform lives and reshape education. You have your dancing shoes on yet? You should, because the long-awaited course, Your Kingdom Classroom, is about to go live. Yes, I am so excited to announce to you that the four-video series, accompanied by activation guides, is almost ready to be released. So keep your eye on kingdomeducators.com for the release of my next course, Your Kingdom Classroom. Now, I want you to know, it includes kingdom principles for calling out the gold in your students. That's right. It's focused on identity, the key to bringing student motivation back to the classroom, for helping kids align their behaviors with their true identity, the identity that God has given them. What a powerful tool to use in this day and age when there is a huge assault on identity. So grab a colleague, grab some time, either this summer, or you could even start now, but dip into what it means to speak words of life in your classroom. Keep a look on kingdomeducators.com. All right, see you on the other side. The title of this episode is My Kingdom Identity Comes with New Authority. Last week, we talked about authority based on scripture, and I came with an interesting perspective of thinking about our identity as putting on our kingly wear, as if we were being welcomed back like the prodigal to put on our robe of righteousness, our ring of authority, and our gospel shoes of peace. This week, I wanted to delve a little bit into the how-tos and even the way we are to approach our position in the world of education as one with authority. And I do want to say I love this title because it really is our kingdom identity that gives us authority. You know, our kingdom identity really has a lot to do with where we're seated. We're seated in heavenly places. I'm going to read some scripture to us today just so that we have that foundational piece. And then I'm going to talk about perspective. So in Ephesians 2:6, our question today is, do you know where you're seated, where your position is? And Ephesians 2:6 says, He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Now, you may have heard this scripture over and over again. This is the Passion Translation. But obviously, due to Jesus dying and being resurrected, and he dying for our sins, we have been welcomed into the family of God by the blood of Jesus. And if you, like me, have given your heart to Jesus, declared he is Lord of your life, accepted his free gift of salvation, then you're seated automatically in heavenly places. Now, why do you bring this up, Jessica? Well, because if you don't know where you're seated in heavenly places, then you're going to come to your position at work a little differently. So when we think about our position in the world of education, we're thinking of it as I'm on the offense and not the defense. Why, you might be asking? Because Christ has already won over sin, death, and the grave just by the power of his resurrection. Okay? So if I'm seated with Jesus in heavenly places, then I'm not working to a promise. I'm working from a promise. I'm working from the realities of heaven to earth. Yes, I'm an earthly being, but it says in scripture, I just read that, Ephesians 2:6, that I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. I want to read Ephesians 1:17 through 22 because it lifts our eyes up. I think often we can come to the day and it's busy, it's full, and it's like, oh Lord, just help me to grasp a hold of who I am in you and who you are in me, and remembering that positional place. So it says in the Passion Translation, Ephesians 1:17, I pray the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Verse 18, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I'm going to pause right there because there's a lot in this. So God is saying, I want to illuminate your eyes today. I want to illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with my light, revealing what is true until you experience the full revelation of the hope that I'm calling you into. The wealth of my glorious inheritance that I find in you, my Holy One. So I want to implore you to pray these scriptures over yourself, Ephesians 1, 17 and through 22, but asking that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be revealed to you, that you would grow in deepening intimacy with him so that the eyes of your imagination would be illuminated with his light so that you would experience the full hope of his calling. I pray this every morning and it's like, Lord, open our eyes to recognize that we are carriers of your glory, that we're carriers of your presence. We are his holy ones as we enter our schools, as we step onto our campuses. Verse 19, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him in the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Woo! Okay, continuing to experience. Yes, I need your immeasurable great power, Lord, to me as I move in faith, that my life would be an advertisement in my school, as I teach, as I interact with students, as I come into contact with my colleagues in my administration, that my life would be a representation of that mighty power that you have that raised Jesus from the dead, when you exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm, that it would move through me that same way. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, verse 21, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. Okay, pause right here because Ephesians 2, 6, it just said we're seated in heavenly places. And now it's saying here, Jesus is. Because Jesus is far above all these things, so are we. Okay, so what's the reality of that? The reality is that we have been given authority. We are above every ruler, authority, government, and realm, and power in existence. Because why? He who is worthy lives inside of you and you in him. You're seated far above in heavenly places. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. Verse 22, and he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church, and God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth and that which fills him who is being filled by it. Now I read this end point right here because we need to remember that Christ is the completion of the church. But we are his body now, his representation on the earth. And the fun thing, I love this note in the Passion Translation in verse 23, that we are those who are filled by Christ, but we also complete or fill him. Wow! What a wonderful and humbling mystery is revealed by this verse. You complete him and he completes you. And you are his witness of Jesus on the earth, that you get to bear his authority. So we already know that Jesus won over sin, death, and the grave. We know we're seated in heavenly places above all powers and principalities. So now, what do you have? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." Every spiritual blessing. So that means as we go about our day, not only do we know our position as above and not beneath, we are the head and not the tail, we're on the offense, not the defense, but we've been given all we need for life and godliness and every spiritual blessing in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Yes, so good. So what do we have? We have all we need for this life. And we have authority as we go about our day. I'm going to actually read Ephesians 6:10. I want to go back to this real quick and putting on the armor of our might is that oftentimes we can get sucked into life's pressures. And it's like the to-do list, the breaking off of victimhood that can come against us. And this is impossible, that kind of thinking. Like, this is impossible. There's no way out. It's just going down the tube. There's no higher way. I don't know, God, how I can do this anymore. How is this going to get better? Oh my goodness, how can I work in the system, right? All these different questions that come. But I feel like the Lord is calling us and reminding us again, where are you positioned? Where are you seated? Where are your thoughts coming from, right? So if we're to wash ourselves with the water of the word and we have His word stuck inside of us, that's why I'm reading a lot of it today, then we have the word, our plumb line at the forefront of our mind, reminding us that we're seated above everything that can happen, even the worst, that we will still win. The kingdom of light will still win, even if it looks dim and gray. We know the end of the story. Jesus has already won. He went back and got the keys to death and Hades, and He hands the keys of the kingdom to you today. So Ephesians 6:10, now my beloved ones, I have saved this very important truth for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victoriously with the force of His explosive power working in and through you. Yes, Lord, I ask that You would infuse us with the power of You flowing through us as we are strengthen our life union with You, as we press into time with You, as we get our thoughts from You, how You see us, and moving with heaven's perspective. Verse 11, we put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. And your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Do you hear this? So our battle is real. It is in the heavenly places, right? There's a first heaven, which is the earth. The second heaven is where spiritual warfare happens. And the third heaven is where we're seated above all powers and principalities, powers and dominion. Okay? So we know we need to put on our armor provided for us to fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. But it's not with human beings, this battle. It's with the highest principalities and powers operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms in that second heaven. And we know that when we put on this armor that God provides, we're protected, and then we can confront the slanderer because we are destined for all things and will rise victorious. I love that promise. We know what the end of the story is. Verse 14, put on truth as a belt to strengthen your stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, and then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. 16, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all His believers. So we're putting on the armor of His might, knowing that we're destined for all things and will rise victorious. And in the back of our mind, we're always remembering, what is my position? I'm on the offense. I can take dominion as one seated in heavenly places. So that means that I'm praying from heaven. I'm thinking like heaven. So what's realities in heaven? What does that mean, Jessica? Well, we're calling forth heavenly realities. And what I think about is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray in this way. Our Father dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Isn't that beautiful? His glory, that our lives would turn on his glory because we are his glory carriers. Oh, manifest your kingdom realm, verse 10, and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we've done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil, for you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. Now, there's a couple nuggets in here when we think about taking our authority. We know where we're seated. We know what we have. All things for life and godliness and every spiritual blessing of Christ. We've been given this divine power to step into armor that is not carnal. We know that we will win. We are an executive carrying what the King desires, his will, and you represent him. But he says in here, manifest your kingdom realm, verse 10, and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is fulfilled in heaven. I want you to think right now, what is happening in your classroom, at your school, in the hallways, in your district, even in your neighborhood or your home, that does not align with the realities of heaven. I can think of a couple right now. What about sickness? What about people dying of cancer? What about kids struggling with authority issues, having trouble respecting, growing up in homes where there's poverty and not enough to eat? They're wearing worn out shoes to school. There's a lack of discipline, learning disabilities. Those aren't in heaven. Disorders of all kinds, having allergies, those don't belong to heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. It says there will be no crying or hurting when we get to heaven. Those are the realities of the King and his kingdom. And he's given us his authority to bring those things to pass. So here's a couple practical examples, okay? From my classroom, I had a student who was definitely on the spectrum, and he was getting special ed services with his IEP for part of the day, and then he was seeing me for reading instruction. And I took a group of kids on a field trip to a bookstore. And while we were at the bookstore, this student had some inappropriate behavior. The parents that were his chaperones came and told me, and then he proceeded to sit underneath the desk and start mumbling to himself and banging his knees together underneath the desk, and he wouldn't move. And we were supposed to leave on the bus in a little bit, and he wouldn't talk to me. He was just murmuring. It was just bizarre. Like, he wouldn't respond at all. Yeah, he'd gone and got a magazine that had porn in it, and he was showing it to people and running around and thinking it was funny. And then he found himself, I think he knew he was going to get in trouble because the parent had said something to me and he knew that. So he got underneath this table and I was just trying to make sense of it in my mind and keep the other kids away from him and get them ready to get on public bus. So I ended up having to call our SRO officer to come and get this young man. Now, at the time, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the worst day ever. We had so much fun until this happened, and I had to call the police from our school to come pick this boy up, and I had to call his mom, and she was really mad. And it was interesting because after that, the same thing happened again another time. The same boy found himself underneath the desk refusing to work with us during a lesson, and he was just mumbling and murmuring the whole time, just banging his knees together, sitting underneath the desk against a wall, and he would not move. It's these kind of things that I think we find ourselves in. I've been subbing in classrooms in the more recent past with kids scratching at the rug or growling or pacing the room round and round and round and then saying random things or yelling in people's faces. And it's in those times where, you know, I have to go back to, what is discernment? Lord, what's happening? Show me. Give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Like, what is happening right now and how do I pray? What do I do? And I know that I have weapons that are not carnal, and I know that I have authority, but what does that mean? You know what I do in this moment? I have the Lord show me what's happening, and then I take authority over the situation. So I probably underneath my breath, this is what I do. I say, in the name of Jesus, stop right now. I command peace to come into this room and replace any kind of, and then you could fill in the blank of whatever you think the thing is that's going on. So a common thing that would happen in my room is I just felt like there was a lot of disruptions. And I had several different boys in my low reader classes who had issues with women in authority. And so I actually felt like the Lord showed me in a prayer time that I needed to take authority over, called it a subversion to authority, like anything that would come against me and the authority of Jesus in me as a woman teaching. And so when I would get to school, I would anoint my desks and chairs and I would invite the Holy Spirit to come and have his way in my classroom. I would ask him that he would come and tighten screws, even in my students' thinking, and their synapses and neurons would fire and receive messages at the right times, that learning disabilities would be healed, and that the Lord would put a covering over my windows and doors by his angelic protection to keep anything out of my room that did not submit to the Lordship of Christ. So I'm talking about spiritual things coming in with kids that they've made agreements with. Now, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but our kids can make agreements with things through what they listen to, the gates in their body, what they listen to, their ear gate, things they've watched, their eye gate, or with their mouth gate. They can make an agreeing with something. It could be a curse. It could be a thought from a movie or someone was talking with them or music they're listening to, but it doesn't agree with the kingdom. And so my role as a kingdom educator is when I come into a space that I shift the atmosphere. And that means that I'm no longer reflecting the feelings in the room like a thermometer would do to check the temperature. Instead, I'm the thermometer. I'm the one setting the atmosphere. And so the atmosphere that I wanted in my classroom is that the realities of the kingdom had precedence in my space. I wanted to see miracles, signs, and wonders in my space. And you have that right and privilege as a son and daughter to do the same thing in your classroom. So Lord, I invite healing, signs, and wonders into my classroom. You know, I had kids that had homelessness. I had one parent who was deported to Mexico. But just speaking the peace of Jesus over situations and over hearts and minds could cause a huge shift for kids to be able to even engage with learning in the first place. And it also can shut down principality and power of the air coming against our students' identity. So things might be coming down the pipeline with your district around curriculum that has to do with identity and sex change and transgender issues in conversation. But you know what? The Lord can give you creative strategies to know how to take authority over confusion. I feel like that's what that spirit of the age kind of deals with. It deals in confusion. And when we cut the confusion off by just saying, in the name of Jesus, confusion, be gone right now. You are not allowed to make your home in this classroom. You're not allowed to make your home in this conversation or this lesson. You can even pray the blessings of Jesus over your lessons. You know, I have a prayer. I think I'll actually type out part of it in the show notes today. It talks about pleading the blood of Jesus and dedicating different things to the Lord every day. And it sounds like this: in Jesus' name, I place, and you could put someone's name in there. You could put a thing. So for instance, I might put finances in there or my home, my classroom, my bank account, whatever it is. In Jesus' name, I place my classroom in the blood of Jesus Christ today. Lord Jesus, release the power of your blood over my classroom. Lord, let your blood speak today over my classroom. Lord, your blood speaks life now into my classroom. Lord Jesus, your blood exposes and destroys all darkness operating in and around my classroom. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. And maybe you're going to teach a lesson and you've been praying into, like, how can I bring the kingdom in my classroom? And the Lord's given you an idea. Plead the blood over it. Prepare it for going forth, if you will, as you teach it, that it would be dedicated to the Lord. You know, I pray over my kids' schools, that same prayer, and I dedicate the district. And even my daughter right now, her teacher's on maternity leave. We just celebrated her, and now she's got long-term sub. So we prayed over the sub today with the same prayer. In the name of Jesus, I place the long-term sub in the blood of Jesus Christ today. Lord Jesus, release the power of your blood over the sub. You could do it over your principal. You could do it over your coworkers. And you know, I even put my unsaved family members in there, because when we plead the blood, it has power to save. It has power to heal, to deliver. And that's what we want to see in our classrooms, is we want to see deliverance from anything that doesn't align itself with the truth of the kingdom. because all things are possible for he who believes. We want to step into this place where we truly believe that. Now, one of the things that we can get caught up with is our thinking. You know, I said earlier, being careful that we don't walk in a victim mindset, because Jesus has taken the keys of death. He's given you the keys to the kingdom. And we also know from Isaiah 33, 5 and 6, that the fear of the Lord is the key. It's the key to breakthrough. It's the key to knowledge. And we want to walk in this space of knowing that we've been given the keys of the kingdom, that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, Matthew 16, 19. But a lot of this warfare that we face is actually strongholds. And you know, for a long time, I didn't understand what a stronghold was. I was like, it's something in the second heaven, you know, angels, demons, there's strongholds, there's different things, and you can feel them over regions even if you're kind of a feeler, or maybe you tend to lean toward more of a prophetic bent. You might feel things that are different in your school than another school. But we have to remember something. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds are actually strongholds in our thinking. They have to do with the way that we think. That's why we're encouraged to let the water of the word wash over our minds. You know, Romans says, be renewed in your thinking. Be renewed. How are we renewed? We're renewed by meditating on the word of God. It changes our thinking so that our perspective comes from heaven. When we invite God's perspective, we recognize that we need to shepherd our emotions with the truth. Jesus says that I give you peace, and peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So we've got to honor our feelings, but we have to know that our feelings, they're a little bit like the weather. They go up and down. They need to not drive the bus. Learned this when I was a kid. You're not letting your feelings, which are the caboose, drive. You let the engine of the train drive. And the engine is the plumb line. It's the word of God. We have to hold on to the truth. Luke 21, 24 warns us, watch out, do not let your hearts be troubled. We want to make sure that we're focused on what is happening. What is God doing? What is he up to? Because he's up to great things. John 15, 9 through 11 says, remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, so that your joy will overflow. Yeah, we can be strengthened with his resilient joy. And I just want to encourage you that God just wants to raise our eyes. He wants to raise our eyes of what's possible in our own thinking, getting set free, but also what's possible in our classrooms. He wants to give us heaven's perspective, heaven's lenses. What is possible in heaven is possible here. The thing that we need to remember is that we are seated both in heavenly places above all powers and principalities, and we also execute the authority of the king in the earth realm. Going back to Ephesians at the very beginning, you are his glory carrier. You wear his signet ring of authority. You carry the authority of the king to execute the things of the kingdom, taking domain, king's domain, in your classroom. So just know that whatever you see, no matter how weird it gets, it's like you just need to ask the Lord, what is happening? What am I feeling? And show me what is true. And I just believe that the Lord will show you how to pray, how to step into a place of binding the things on earth so they will be bound in heaven, and loosing. So we want to bind what is not belonging there, should not belong in heaven. We want to release it to the king. And then we want to loose the realities of the kingdom. So going back to my example, I am binding any confusion. I am binding subversion to authority. I am binding a refusal to participate. Now, that boy also needed healing. So I'm binding anything that's keeping him locked up inside, and I'm loosing the opposites. So instead of confusion, I'm loosing a sound mind and a spirit of peace. I'm loosing a ability to be able to have wisdom from heaven and to see as heaven does. So I'm actually loosing the realities of heaven, the vision of heaven into my classroom so my kids can see as he sees and hear as he hears, so they can come into alignment with the kingdom. Even if they don't know him, they're going to feel the presence of Jesus through you in the way that you pray. Now, there's lots of different resources that we could send you to here. I might put a couple in the show notes for you, but I hope this was helpful in kind of clarifying a little bit more about executing your authority in your classroom. Because again, your kingdom identity comes with new authority. So it's time to up our game and step into the place of knowing that we've already won because Jesus has won. We're seated in heavenly places above all powers and principalities, and we've been given everything for life and godliness and every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have the keys of the kingdom. So it's time to loose it in your classroom. Thanks for tuning into this podcast. Please be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends in education so they too can be strengthened and encouraged in living their kingdom identity out loud in this pivotal hour. And please visit kingdomeducators.com to receive your Kingdom Educator Daily Truth Declarations, my encouraging newsletter, and be the first to know about my newest resources, online and in-person events. And be sure to find me on the socials at kingdom.educators. Until next time, don't forget you are a history maker, and what you do every day is transforming lives.